Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the fourth chapter, verses 18 through 22. Hear the word of the Lord. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. May God bless this reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Father God, open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up. And may what is said, heard, and understood this day be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is a really good passage of scripture. And depending upon the gospel that you read it in, there is a whole lot of stuff in here. This is Jesus calling his first disciples. He talks about fishers of men leaving possessions behind, leaving family behind, an immediate following of Jesus. If you read Luke, it's the account of the miraculous catch. And that one is a sermon for another day. But today I would like us to take a look at verse 20. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, when Jesus calls James and John, a little later on, all that it says in there is that they left their boat and they left their father. The nets are not mentioned, and this has always kind of bugged me. Why wouldn't you have the nets mentioned in both places? Well, I did have an issue with that, but I kind of got an answer in 1983 when I and youth from around the nation came to Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana, for the 1983 Presbyterian Youth Triennium, which was a gathering together, and it was kind of like a conference. If anyone's familiar with Resurrection, it's along that lines. And we had speakers, and we had little groups that we got together to discuss the topic of the day. And the theme, if you will, was lay down your nets. Now, let's talk for a minute about nets. I mean, what do we know about the nets that were in use at the time of Jesus? Well, they weren't the little nets on a pole that we have when we go fishing. They were rather large. They were pretty strong. They were made out of rope, and they were heavy. And the fishermen would take, and in their boats, they'd go out, and they'd throw the net out, and they'd pull it back in, and they would catch fish. Well, inevitably, they caught more than just fish. There was seaweed in there. There was probably rocks, other things that were not really desirable. But they pulled it all in, kept the fish, and did something with the trash, if you will. Now, this verse 20, they laid down their nets and they followed Jesus. Well, that's kind of a duh moment. I mean, you're not going to take this big, heavy, large net with you if you're going to take and you're going to follow Jesus. Can you imagine walking around with this big, heavy, large net over your shoulders? So that got me thinking, and once I was done at the triennium, I continued to think about what was said there. And you know, basically, there was a lot of talk about the junk in the nets. And what did that represent? We all walk through lives with nets, gathering the things that are around us. And we get good things, like the fish. We get good things. We have friends and family. We have interactions with people where we go that can be at times very, very inspiring. But we also pick up bad things, trash. We pick up negativity. We pick up nasty people, for lack of a better word. And we pick up, you know, nasty people for whatever reason, why, you know, usually say nasty things about you, about a situation, or whatnot. We pick up emotions that are not always the best thing to take and hold onto. I saw a TikTok yesterday that was talking about the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is knowing that you did something wrong. Shame is thinking that there is something wrong with you. And shame is one of the things that in many cases we get in our nets. And it is there and we dwell on it. There are other things in life that we catch with our nets. Things that make us anxious, that make us angry, that makes us resentful. Things that we as a Christian people are not supposed to have. We also pick up ways that things that we have to do in order to be Christians. What does it mean to be a Christian? How are we supposed to act? Well, how are we supposed to act? Oh yes, praise the Lord. It is such a good, good day. Oh, it is such a blessing to be out. You know the people, they're always happy. And that's the way a Christian's supposed to be, right? A Christian is not supposed to use bad words. And it is very bad if you do. Well, let me make a confession. I use four-letter words sometimes. And as my son tells me, what do you tell me? You're a pastor. You shouldn't be saying that. Well, let me deflate your balloons. Christians don't always walk around saying, "Oh, it is such a great day. Praise the Lord." Why? Because we're human beings. Stuff happens in our lives. We get upset. We are allowed to get upset. We are allowed to be sad. We are allowed to be angry. That's how we're made. And that getting angry, that being sad, fulfills a purpose in our lives. We're angry if because we get hurt. And through that anger, we start hopefully working out, thinking about it, and to a certain extent getting over it. If we're sad, we're doing it for a reason. We have all lost relatives. And even those that we know we are going to see one day in heaven, we get sad. And that's okay. Because in that sadness, slowly the loss turns to remembering and cherishing the things that that person gave to us. My grandfather died in 1980. He was the only grandfather I had. My dad's dad passed away seven months before I was born. So he was my only grandfather. And we went fishing together. I spent time with grandma and grandpa. And one of the highlights of my trip, because they lived on a half an acre, was mowing the grass on the rider mower. I was hot stuff. And my grandfather would always sit there in his chair. He'd bring the lawnmower out, get it all set. I would sit down. I'd look over at him, and he would always go, which meant put it in second gear and go. He died of throat cancer, and I was very sad. But I still remember the love, and I still remember the joy. Now, this is the PG-13 part of this sermon. This whole thing about Christians not being able to use four-letter words, there's a theological term for this. That's bullshit. And let me tell you why. This is my opinion. If you disagree with me, I'm not saying that you got to go around like my former manager, who was a U.S. Marine, who peppered every single statement with the universal adjective, which I will not speak. I'm not saying that. But there are times that I believe that a word is needed to be said. If you smack your thumb and it hurts, what do you say? Okay. Yeah. Ouch. But in many cases, I'll bet that you're going to say, "Damn it." Or you're going to say, "Shit!" Yes, it's a bad word. But let me ask you a question. After you say it, how do you feel? When I do it, I feel a little bit better. I had a manager that said, "You know what, Tim? Sometimes you just gotta say, shit." This is my point. Let me get to the point here. We've got these nets, and we collect a lot of good stuff in it. We collect a lot of bad things, and some of those bad things are things that you don't do because you're not a Christian, and that you really shouldn't do. The only thing that I need to do to be a Christian is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me share one of the most eye-opening experiences that I ever had. I used to take my car to Universal Muffler over in Fairlawn, which was owned by a man named Sean Jesse. Does anybody know Sean? I know Holly does. I know David does. Sean, what? Hang on. Sean knows his Bible. He is a very loving man who loves God and is always throwing out grace. I was talking to him one time, and I forget exactly what the context was, but the word hell got into the sentence, and I said, "Oh, Sean, I am so sorry," because as a Christian, you're not supposed to say that. And he said something back to me. He said, "It's okay. You've got to be real." We as Christians need to be real. We need to get the crap out of the nets that needs to come out of the nets. We need to not judge ourselves by all of this crap that we pull up in our nets. We need to be real, because if we're real and we acknowledge certain things in our lives, we can work on them. So I'm going to continue to say shit when I hit my thumb, or say damn it when I am frustrated, because that works for me. So lay down your nets. Drop your nets. Don't be caught up in what all of the crap that goes on in the world. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to shame, to guilt, to other things that keeps us from moving forward by being transformed by Jesus. As I like to say, God's going to take you exactly the way that you are. Foul-mouthed, drunk, drug user, whatever. He's going to take you exactly as you are. But don't expect to stay that way. So I am going to apologize, because I know some of you didn't like my language. But I hope that you understand what I am trying to say. Yes, Ethan. I hope that you try that you understand what I'm trying to get across to you. We need to drop those. We need to drop our nets. Stop holding on to the bad things in life. Focus, having our focus on that. And focus on what God would have us do. Amen.